Say good morning. God bless you. Today, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing, and we are certainly being glad in it. I thank God for today, February the 2nd, 2025, the Lord's day. For he sits high, and it is he that is lifted up. It is his train that fills the temple. To those that are here in person and those that are joining with us by way of broadcast and streaming mediums, we welcome you in the spirit of Christ. I want to open by saying that God loves you despite what has been done, what has been said, the opinions of others about you. God loves us unconditionally. I want to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to come back. Following that prayer, we're going to again attend a moment of worship unto the Lord by putting our hands together, blessing him, and then we're going to get a word from the Lord. Amen. Eternal God, you are truly wise and you are holy. And God, we honor you, we reverence you, the very beauty of your holiness as we present ourselves now as vessels that have been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for such great salvation, the things that have been done to make this very moment possible in time. Thank you, Lord, for working before us with the things that we have seen, working, God, behind the scenes to protect us from every danger that may befall us. Thank you, God, for causing us to arrive here safely. You believed in us, God, when we believed not even in ourselves. You saved us, oh God, before we even had any knowledge ourselves that there was such a salvation. And we thank you. Thank you for bringing us, is what we're saying, God, from all of the things that we did so immaturely, that we did, God, so ignorant of your presence and your love for us. We thank you for saving us. And now, God, that as we come in this place today, I'm asking you that you touch that very one that have asked in prayer for some favorable way that you guide them and lead them in their life. I know that this you can do as only you can. God, I ask that you today touch, bless, heal, and deliver in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we ask that if there is any physical sickness that is in the body, that you attend as well because you are a healer. I ask, oh God, the one that is dealing with the things that causes the mind to be burdened and the things that to be oppressed, I ask, oh God, that you will attend that as well. God, we believe you today for all things. We know, God, that before you today, we bow. We bow before your holy throne. Lead us and guide us now. We pray, God, in this worship experience, we ask, oh God, that we can receive a word from you. We need something from you that will guide us, that will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, we ask today, O Lord, that you will give the answer to the questions that we have asked and give solutions to the problems that present themselves. We believe you for all of this today in the mighty and the magnificent name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Slip your hands together today and bless God. Come on, we can do better than that. Put your hands together today and bless God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, as others are coming now, we are again certainly glad for you joining in with us in whatever way that you are joining us today in person or if you're together today with us streaming. We certainly thank God for that. Amen. Okay. All right. So hope that the year is shaping up well for you and that you have a reason to be so ecstatic about this year, just to be excited about it because God has spared our lives again to be here for such a great time as this. I hope that you have plans to make this a better year. Amen. Amen. Better year. it will become a better year because being a better year requires a better you. It has to be a better you if it's going to be a better year. Amen. And I am looking to improve myself. Yeah, because I'm glad that God spared me. Yeah. And I'm not going to grieve the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. Somebody say amen. He is. He is our teacher. And he is our comforter, and I'm not going to grieve him with the things that often are problematic that comes with life. I'm not going to grieve the Holy Spirit with that. You know, when you're the driver in a car, you don't want any backseat drivers, you don't want any passenger drivers. Because the way I see you all, and the way I understand it, if you're going to do all of that, it's either one or two things that you can do. That's right. Now, since you all already know where that's going, God feels the same way. When you're grieving the Holy Spirit about his driving in your life. If you can do it better, then I would suggest that you do it. But God's not, he doesn't deal with us that severely. He's patient with us. Even though we sing that song, I won't complain, we complain. We complain to each other, we complain to ourselves. And I think that we need to really do better in that area with as we grow up. And we grow up by not grieving the Holy Spirit. Amen. Get out of the way and let him do what he do. The Holy Spirit can do it. Today is special. I told y'all to bring somebody. Did y'all bring somebody? Y'all didn't get my message. I told y'all to bring some guests. Y'all trying. That's, you know what? Keisha, I'm so glad to hear that. You can't make, but you did put forth an effort to let somebody know. That's part of what we're going to be doing. We're going to let people know that where I'm about to go and what I'm about to do, I want to share it with you. That's good. I looked at some pictures, Eddie, over the past week. Man, our men's fellowship, and even the brother that was with us for a while, God didn't send him to be with us, but for a while, he died so tragically, Big John. But God, isn't it a good thing to know that God gave us a chance to be in his life for a moment? And it make you think that you were the last one that God left him with to do what you were supposed to do before God took him. And so that's, as men, that's what we should always be about, is trying to sharpen other men, women, other women, all of us just trying to help others. So thank you so much. And I know not only Keisha did, but we all did. We always have it in our heart to share with someone else. Because, let's just say it, God is just that good.
Yes, he is.
That he's worth sharing, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Amen. He's just that good. That we want to share him, and there is enough of him to go around. Amen.
Amen.
I wanted to do a little lead in there to give others time to make it in so that we can kind of all be on the same page, work together, because today y'all gonna have to work with Pastor. I got something I want to get across. It's so broad and so huge. so massive that it's going to take some time to work it out, and it's going to be rather challenging to bring it into a meal size so that it is enjoyed, and most of all, not enjoyed, but as should I say, so that it is understood. I'm very adamant about not giving up, people.
I'm
strong-minded about that. I talked to Sister Tucker, and do y'all look at older people? Some of us are the older people we used to look at. They say, I look at myself. But you can always look at somebody that's older than you are, and you look at it. And when you get to an age, especially when I think about Mother Tucker, I see the things that she do in her perseverance, in her determination, in her strength. And then I consider myself, and I said, man, what are you talking about? It being hard and being rough. I think about the sicknesses that have presented themselves and that she has overcome. And times that she couldn't even sit in a chair, she would walk around back there because sitting hurt and was painful. But she still came and she stood. And I'm supposed to be pastoring someone like that. Y'all get what I'm saying? I get up some mornings when I be wanting to quit, give up, throw in the towel, and all of that. And Sister Tucker is serving her purpose in my life. I don't know about you. It depends on how you judge it. She certainly serves a purpose in my life because I look at her and I say, Lord, you give me to still watch over her soul. And she's still holding fast to the faith. So I want to say something that is going to be encouraging to me. And I want to also say something that is going to be encouraging to you, that's going to cause you to really press your way. See that, Keisha, you didn't give up. Don't give up, baby. I see, yeah. That's going to be encouraging to somebody else because we're going to have to get through this. Now, let me tell you this. The scripture says that there's going to be a huge and conglomerate, massive amount of problems as we go forward. But at the same time, the Ecclesian, the preacher in the Old Testament, say there's no new thing under the sun. So what you're having to endure, someone has already overcome. What you're confronted with, what you're facing, someone else has stood in the face of that challenge and they've already made it through there. So, and the scripture says, we are in the world, but not of the world. And our faith is what causes us to overcome it.
Yes, come on now.
So I want to, in a broad way, and I think in some way as we go forward, you got to get ready for some special sessions, some Bible study too, along with Sunday morning services. And I'm not ready prepared to tell you when we're going to have them. More than likely, they're probably going to be on Saturdays as opposed to an evening time. Like Wednesday evening, it's probably going to be special session sometime on Saturday where it's just going to be just a breakout for Bible study. It's going to require you to do some stuff yourself, too. I ain't going to just be telling you to open your Bible. You're going to have to open the Bible during the course of your week.
Amen.
And you're going to have to do some special studies for yourself. Now, because we're all individuals and we're all working on different things, our lives are so complex that nobody, even though I'm a husband and a wife is a wife, and we're trying to do it together, we're still individuals in God. And so the challenges are different. So we have to learn to work together with one another so that we are never, so that we don't become a hindrance to each other. So everybody have to do their part. At times, you're going to be the strong one. At times, you're going to be the weaker ones. The scripture says the strong does what? Bear the infirmities of the weak. So there are times when you're going to say to your spouse, it's me that's the weaker one this time. And then in other times, it's going to be you. The weaker one is not going to always be the weakest one. I'm going to say it one more time. The weaker one is not going to always be the weakest one. There are times when you can learn something from your kids. If you listen, there are things that you can learn from them. And there's nothing better than knowing that you can make a withdrawal from your child where you made a deposit, where you put something in them, and you put it in there because you think they needed it, but actually you put it in there because you were going to have to need it yourself because they're going to give it back to you one day. I hear my mama say when she was laying there, she was wise. She said this, she said, Lord, God, just keep on making things change in life. She said, it used to be that you had to depend on me. Now here it is, I got to depend on you. Mama was wise. She wanted something. Y'all ain't getting it. She wanted me to do something that she couldn't get my sisters to do. So she hit me with that. She said, now I got to depend on you, where you used to have to depend on me. She was trying to get something out of me that she couldn't get out of them. But, yeah, and she laying up there, and that's how she laid in. Now she come to that son, because I can get on him. And she said that when a mama say that to a son, you know, it's done already, right? Yeah, that's right. So, and but with great wisdom, she put that on me. Now, here is what we're going to do as we move forward into the interior of this, what is called another year, okay, February now. And I'm using that only as a marker. Just like the 12 stones that the children of Israel put as they went across the Jordan River. They weren't going to come back and check on those stones later. They were just putting those stones there so that when someone else passed by, they could see that someone already made it to the other side. So we're going to put this in time, put it as a marker. And that's all I'm letting this second Sunday in February be, just be a marker. Don't get lost with trying to mark time. Deal with the idea that we're just going to set something here in place so that we can say that this is where I started, and it was some time ago, and I left a marker there, but God, you have brought me on to here. What we need to do is accomplish some significant goals despite challenges. Say that with me. I want to accomplish significant goals despite challenges. Now I need you to let that process and see what you just said to yourself. I want to do something even though it's going to be tough. And as long as God keeps me here, I want to continue doing something, knowing that it's going to be tough. And I want to make that resolve to myself today, that I want to do something. And I'm saying this with a reason, because I'm aware, as God has made me aware in my spirit, that it's hard to sit down and just have that kind of a resolve that I'm about to do something, because the challenge comes at us so hard that we just say, oh, just forget it. I just let it stay like it is. I won't even bother to do better. There are days when you get up to clean up and it never happens. Boy, you get up. You just have a big plan. Boy, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this house. I'm going to get this house. And the next thing you know, you sit back there, shoot, I'm going to do this. I do this to mom. And for some of us, that tomorrow never gets here. And now life is cluttered. I'm not saying that you're not a tidy person. I'm just saying that life can just get cluttered with undone stuff. Because the challenge was just too great, the thought of what it was going to take. Well, you got to do that stuff in bite-sized notions. Don't make it, get it done, but don't make it so big.
Do it in a manner that you get a bit done at a time so that you can see the progress and say, okay, well, I didn't get it all, but I got some. Don't look at the whole house. Start with a single closet. Don't start with the whole room. Start with a single drawer. Deal with it in bite size. Now, let me translate this to our spiritual lives. God deals with the process of transforming us in bits and pieces and segments of our life, levels and dimensions. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought of a child. I did the things that children do. But now that I've become a man, I put away childish things. There is not a day on the calendar that Paul just stopped doing childish stuff. He can't go back and say, oh, that's my birthday. That's my grown-up day. Like, as in it's a birthday. Like, I stopped doing all the childish stuff in just one day. I stopped thinking like a child as in one day. Paul is telling you that the transformation of God was a process of the renewing of my mind. Because everything that there is to do, God has already done. What I have to do is build a sense of trust in Him, working in cooperation with Him, so that as He, see, I can't change me, but He can. I cannot change me, but God can. And God will. And God has. And now, if we get out of the way and stop trying to drive so much, God will continue to do these things in us. And we can see that we're still making progress. Don't be a one-night sensation. Don't be a one-hitter quitter. I mean that. Don't be a has-been. Don't be a used-to-be. Be a what God wants you to be today. And that is, He wants you to be victorious, and God wants you to be great. Stand on your feet today in this room. Clap your hands and say, God, I'm here. Come on, stand on your feet today. Here am I. Come on, use me. Come on, you people, don't be passive with that. Here am I. Use me. In the face of challenge, use me. Need to accomplish some significant. Whatever God put you through, He already knew the other side of that. And the only reason that He brought you to it is because He's going to bring you completely through it. And you don't have to rush it, but you do have to wait on it. Hallelujah. To accomplish significance. I just don't like to see something that is still so befitting for the uses of God just to just sit and deteriorate and waste. And to know that it is something that can be so useful to God. So, you don't have to do this. Accomplish. Dad, I thought you was my wife. Boy, I tell you, I need to stop that. I need to get some better glasses more. They're my wife. I'm like, when did Mom get with Cassie? That's Tad. These are for reading, and they for right here. Now I see this. Okay. There are some things that you got to do. And when you do it, I just want you to have a consciousness of it, but you can go ahead and do it. First thing is turn off the news. You don't have to, you can turn it on, but just know that it was said, turn it off. That makes sense. Have a consciousness of what you're doing so that it doesn't have such authority over your life. Be conscious that you're turning it on. And know that when you turn it on, you already know what it's going to tell you. All right? You already know what it's, you know it's going to upset you. It's going to disturb you. Turn it off in letting it have so much control over your life.
But go ahead and turn it on. I'm about to say some stuff now.
I promise you, when you turn it on, no matter what they tell you, the world is not ending and you're going to be okay. You all upset over the cost of eggs. You don't eat eggs like that anyway. I mean, some of y'all tripping really hard. When is the last time you had a boiled egg? When is the last time you had an egg for breakfast, period? Now, how many of y'all really, really, really tripping hard over the idea of the cost of eggs? You tripping hard? You love eggs. You do, even at $12 a dozen? So you ain't tripping, right? You tripping? The world is not going to come to an end because eggs are $12 a dozen, I promise you. It ain't going to end. Stop letting it keep you awake because you got to buy some or you bought some, whatever it is, and you're going to be okay. Let's go ahead and all agree with that. The world ain't going to end because the eggs are high. Y'all in agreement with me? Go buy a chicken. People are using us as their way of getting richer because the more they spin these headlines, they're mongering you because they know that they're going to get you and you're going to tell somebody else and you're going to tell somebody else and you're going to tell somebody else. What you need to really be focused on when you decide not to turn that TV on is why don't you turn around and focus on the people that's in the house with you. Turn around and focus on your family and start sitting down and talk to them and say, what can we do to make this household better for the rest of this year? What can we make this to be a place where I look forward to coming back to instead of dreading? What can I do to make this place a more peaceful place? What can I do to make this so that I can say what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you decide not to turn it off, turn that on, turn around and start working on something that's inside of the people that's inside your house. If there's nobody there, how about you focus on making better decisions? Or focus on getting your money up and making it so that it works better for you. Focus on getting healthy. Focus on getting a better education, learning. I want to tell you, while you're sitting there, even if you're in the home by yourself or if you're in there with others, I want to send you a clarion message today from heaven. No one is coming to save you. And that no one can stop you from being successful if you don't let them. The only way somebody can stop you is because you let them. And that if you're sitting there feeling sorry for yourself, no one is coming. I want that clear. There's somebody. God gonna send somebody. He sent someone already. The Christ is in you until he is acknowledged. And when you acknowledge him, he'll favor you in other ways. But until you truly get in touch with who already resides inside of you, and you waiting on somebody else to do for you what only God can do for you, I'm here to tell you, and I'm a living witness. Turn that heat down just a little bit. Ain't nobody coming to save you. Can I get a witness in here? There's no need of you feeling sorry for yourself. I don't deserve this. I deserve better than this. God has given you better inside of you, Christ. All right? I want to work this. I told y'all, y'all going to have to work with me with doing this. Always from the aspects of faith and strengthening our faith. And I've observed in the scriptures that having strong faith was really crucial for everybody who was in the Bible to stay on track. And I look at them and I look at their lives and they believe with all of their hearts that God was with them. They believed this. They believed, and the belief wasn't just hope. It was real to them, and it became the air that they breathed. They had to really, just really have a faith that caused them to stay on track. Solomon had a huge degree of wisdom. That's David's son, everybody. He had, no one will be as wise as Solomon was. And that was not just something that Solomon set up one day and said that he wanted to be the wisest man in the world. Listen to me carefully. Solomon one day discovered that the wisdom that I have is coming from someone who is greater than I am. All right? It was rooted in the faith that he had in God. Solomon discovered that as my faith increased in God, so does my wisdom. I want you to start seeing the process, how it happens. He discovers that he has all of this wisdom in God. It was rooted in him having faith in God and being guided by God. And then it became the paramount of his life. Just one little snippet of the thing that Solomon did that was so profound and wise that made him the great leader. Being the king, you have to bring matters to him that were matters of importance. Two women were arguing over one child. One said that the child was hers. Another said that the child was hers. The case is brought to Solomon. Early day children's court, DHR. Says it's my child. This says it's my child. Solomon said, I tell you what we're going to do. Listen to his wisdom. We're going to cut this baby in half. I'm going to give this woman half of the child. I'm going to give this woman the other half of the child because I can't determine whose child it really is. One woman said, give her the entire child. Don't cut the child in half. The one was willing for the child to be cut in half. Solomon, by wisdom, knew that this cannot be this child's mother, who would permit this child to be destroyed over the argument between two people about whose kid this is. That kind of wisdom can only come from one who has the guidance, as Solomon does, and the faith that he has in God. He orders that the child be given to this mother, and he is well in his heart and can sleep in his deportment of being the person that he is and the king that he is, that he has made the decision that is the God decision, as to give this child, because this is this child's biological mother. He is a praying man that has wisdom and knowledge. Noah has that same faith with his family. God comes to him and he says to him, I want you to build an ark. An assignment is given to him to do something that is never done before. The nomenclature of an ark is not something that is motorized. It is only intended to float. I want you to build a float mechanism, but I want you to build it not only for yourself, I want you to build it so that others will not be submerged, but they also can stay afloat with you. Notice the objective that is before him. The challenge in building something that has never been done before. The same God who tells him to complete a task gives him the specifics and gives him a blueprint. I want you to see he and Abraham being together with details that he don't have the whole, but he has to stay in touch with God so that he knows what's next. It's not like having the recipe, two cups of sugar, a teaspoon of salt, but you've got to listen to God so that you know what is to happen next. I want you to build an ark. There has to be a specific wood because God knows the wood that it's going to take to sustain the amount of days that it's going to be subjected to water. He knows what it's going to take to put this ark together so that it becomes water sealed and waterproof. Wouldn't want to get you out there afloat on something that's not going to hold you, that's not going to be substantial. So you've got to get the details from God because the assignment that is given to you is going to be an object to do the same thing that Jesus Christ does. He saves. Are you with me? The hard part about his deployment to build an ark, say this with me, it had never rained. At this point, water has only come from out of the ground, what we call dew. Right? And that's how everything was moist. How was it green? How did it get water? It come up. All right? Their rivers, everything comes up, never came down. Now, not only do I have to trust God that I'm doing something that he has assigned for me to do, but I'm preparing myself to have an encounter with something that has never happened before. That is, it's going to rain. And it's going to rain in such measures that everything that is living is going to be destroyed by it, that is not on the ark that you build. Come on, somebody, that's a lot of weight on one shoulder. Right? Huh? This man has to multitask. While you're building, preach. Tell people it's going to rain. You're arguing with people that are stop signs. I'll let y'all figure that out. You argue with a stop sign. Like it's going to ever do anything other than just be stuck on stop. And you're telling them that it's going to rain. Now, you have to have concluded in yourself that if God said it, he going to do it. Even though it hadn't happened, I'm talking to everybody, not somebody. You know how the preacher say, I'm talking to somebody? I'm talking to everybody. You got to believe in it, even though it has never been done. Well, that's okay, because that's just me. No, I want you to convince others. Now, if they believe it or accept it, that's on them. But I want you to tell them. Boy, that sounds like me, like, man, I'm about to sound like a fool. I'm going to be talked about. I'm going to be called crazy. People are going to think I'm crazy. I'm talking to everybody. And the way that you're doing some things in your life right now, it's okay that nobody else see it but you. Is that okay with everybody? It's okay that everybody else doesn't see it. Everybody else hadn't got it. The question that I'm asking you is, do you have it? Are you by faith really believing in it? Are you steadfast on the idea that you know that this is what God has assigned you to do? Then keep doing it. Don't give up. Stay there. Hold that staying power. Noah has to build an ark even though rain was just, it was just a foreign concept. Job had to have unwavering belief. Say this word, determination.
Determination.
Determination kicked in when faith was tested. They got determined. And instead of getting bitter, you know what they got? They got better. Because they got determined. But let's go back to that sitting in that house saying, I'm going to get up one day. Now I'm getting up today and I'm going to clean this house up. Noah, Solomon, they could have just sat there and they could have looked at something that was so significant. And they could have looked at challenge and they could have backed up and said, man, I'll do it later. God is not accepting you to do it later. God wants it done now. He wants it done today. Daniel's determination to obey God. Where did it end him up? Where did Daniel end up? What got him there? Determination. Joseph ended up in Potiphar's house. What got him there? Determination. Hold on, let me stop. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ended up in a fiery furnace. What got them there? Determination. When you are determined, you're going to end up in some tricky places. And until you get determined, and you'll know when you're determined because it's going to get tricky. It's going to get real tricky when you get determined. If everything going the way you want it to go, you're not determined yet. When you got to deal with it, that's when you start to get determined. When the obstacle course actually has obstacles, now you are determined. But when you run it and you doing it like you want to do, you got that Burger King philosophy in life, you having it your own way, everything going your way. Look, when you ask me, how is it? How are things? Good? My wife will tell you, you good. And then later on, I tell her, I thought you said everything was good. It was, as far as you're concerned. I've got to deal with this. My determination, I just told her this morning, just because I don't tell you that I'm having to deal with it through the toughness, I got you on preserve, because while I deal with it, I need somewhere to come so that I can forget about it for a minute. But if I put it on you, all you're going to do is just worry with me. You're my safe haven. You're my quiet place. I don't want you. I need you there so that you can be my strength while I say I'm going to forget about it. And she knows how to help me forget about it. Another sermon. Peter's courage faced its test. Y'all ready for the teaching? Whenever there is a calling and whenever there is a revelation, whenever there is a calling and whenever there is a revelation of God placing his hands on somebody, the calling is going to be extraordinarily exciting. But at the same time, it's going to be scary. And fear is going to be imparted. And the reason that you get excited is because now you're discovering that, God is moving something inside of me. Oh, I got a task before me, Nations Harvest, this year, concerning Nations Harvest. It's 20, what, how many years since 24 years. We've been at this 24 years. 24 years now, and here it is that I would think that, okay, things are supposed to be coming easy and supposed to be, and God is placing a challenge that we're going to have to do more. There is more required of us. It's not over. Because somewhere between here and the victory, and this is for us individually. When I say this, I'm not talking about now this whole conglomeration of assembly people. I'm saying that even you, if you're here as a guest with us today, between where you are right now and the victory of where you're going to set to say, God, I'm going to get this done, it's going to be tough. But you are actually today, before you leave here, you're going to set something and say that, God, I am going to set a goal before me. Because you have not called me to just sit here and soak up blessings. Because the result of me sitting up, soaking up blessings, is me sitting up asking you for stuff that I don't need. Stuff that's just going to cause more problems. And I've spent my life asking you to give me stuff that I didn't need. To give me stuff that later brought me nothing but just problems. So what I'm going to do, instead of just asking for stuff so that I can know that you're God, I'm going to ask you now, use me. You don't need another pair of shoes. You don't need another dress. You don't need another outfit. You don't need any more. You don't need any. You don't need any. And you're not going to die because eggs are going to cost $20 a dozen. But between here and what you set to do next, it's going to be tough. You got to have that assurance in your spirit that God has called you. I want you to go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. What can I say today that's going to cause you to just be jolted? Like, especially today. What's going to cause this message just to resonate? What's going to cause you to leave here in anticipation, to leave here in expectation? Nothing other than a prophetic word. Not a prophetic word that has to be given, but a prophetic word that's already been received. What's going to jolt you? Say it with me, a prophetic word. Not one that's going to be given, but one that's going to be given today, but one that you've already received. Not some of us, but every one of us right here now. At least one. All of us have a prophetic word resting upon us. Amen. Something has been spoken over you that gave you purpose. I need you to be able to identify with that. Know it. Accept it. Jeremiah chapter number 1, let me get there with you. Jeremiah and 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son, verse number 4. You there? The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I want to make this more, because I need a jolt right here. I need a big shot of Starbucks and everybody. You start at verse number 4. And for every pronoun, where, like he says, the word of the Lord came unto me, me as a pronoun, I want you to say this silent, I want you to put your name right there. I want you to read down through verse 10. Every time he says what Jeremiah is putting himself in the place, I want you to put yourself in the place of Jeremiah. when you receive what God has, he does it by prophetic utterance. I had to come to grips with Uncle Daniel and what Uncle Daniel said to my mother. Even though I don't recall my great Uncle Daniel saying it, but it was said. My mother's uncle, her mother's brother, said, and I tried to get some details. I asked my sister, how old was I? She said, I don't know. I just know that mom said that's what he did. Come here, Cash. I don't know whether I was sitting or whether I was standing. But he said, when he came to her boy that she had waited on, since her dad had been married, and she waited 12 years to have her first child, and she had a daughter. And then she waited 4 more years, and she had another daughter. And then she finally had a son, me. I haven't done the math to see how long she had been married before she had me. 12, 4, 16. She waited 16 years to have me. It's a long time to wait on something. Then she has this kid. And her uncle comes and looks at her little baby, me. We don't know whether he touched it or whether he just looked at it. And he said, there is something in that little head. Well, don't sound like much, does it? There is something in here, inside Cash. As it was in Jeremiah. Before he was your grandson, God knew him. While he was yet in the womb, God called him. And so that I can make it clear, I'm only resounding, restating, re-saying what has already been spoken.
That's right.
Oh, but us, we think, oh, he's going to be a preacher. He could be the founder of the next thing that gets you up off of a dying table.
Come on now.
He could be the founder of the next thing that kills every cancer cell in your body, like water being turned to ice. Who knows? But there is something that is in there, Uncle Daniel said. But it was so significant that mom had to later tell us, who didn't even see it, hear it, or remember it. Now, I had to be here, but I didn't remember it. But it meant something to her, and it was so meaningful that she had to tell us that Uncle Daniel said that. Now, what I have to do is know that God used just a human, ordinary vessel in an ordinary conversation to open his mouth and give a prophetic utterance that was going to lead to a revelation. And then the revelation now, I'm seeing just like Solomon saw. God, you did something. Because what God did, until it starts to blossom in you, what benefit is it anyway? Oh, my God. until you, you got your own uncle, and I don't know what your uncle or your aunt said, or your grandmother or your mother, but at some point, somewhere, maybe you hadn't even come out of the womb yet, maybe you were still there, and somebody touched your mother's stomach and said, it's just different. It's just not ordinary. I don't know when, but at some point, know me when I tell you and hear me clearly, God had it prophetically spoken somewhere, whether you remember it or not. Somebody say it has been spoken. Oh, Jock, you can't dodge it. You can't miss it, Derek. There ain't no way around it. If we discover in our life, no, it ain't from a singing. I know that. That's pretty obvious. But that's not what I'm saying, See, but what I'm saying is we discover you can decline what it's not, maybe. But when you discover what it is and you come to grips with God, you know you did that. And you did it in me. I need to joke somebody here today. I need you to get inside yourself until you know that God, you have prophetically spoke something over me. See, God called you, but you have too long let other people uncall you. Oh, I feel like running around here for a minute now. If you don't watch out, people will say stuff that will make you feel uncalled. It will make you feel as though there has been no prophetic word. It will cause you to think that just, oh, who, me? Huh? But come on today, let's stand in agreement with God. God, you did something. Oh, you, God, you did something in me. See, by popular demand, that TV has talked to you so much until it's got you so depressed about everything that happened. You're starting to live so negative about everything that can happen. Huh? Look, if you didn't get your own self when you was out there acting a fool, drunk out of your mind, high out of your gourd, or whatever it was that you were indulging in, above and beyond the realm of making sense, and I don't know what that was, but somebody say it was something. If that didn't get you, what you think Trump gonna do to you? If you didn't get you, what is he gonna do to you? If God kept you from your own self, talk, Don. If he delivered you and saved you from your own ineptability, you think he's gonna let somebody else come along? Bro, you can't do nothing but help what God has already started. You are a vessel that's subject to him. You just like Potiphar. And I'm Joseph. And I'm on my way from the pit to the palace. So though popular demand says, you're going to do this and you're going to do that, you can't do nothing but help what God already started, and you're going to help it finish. I have a dream. That speech done been spoken. I'm declaring a new one today. Everything in life helps to move me towards that victorious end. In the face of calamities, troubles, problems, and toughness. Everybody that's causing you a problem now, God just using them. Everybody. Got you tossing and turning and upset. Got you wanna cry, you not the crying kind. It's not there to destroy you. God is sending it there to fortify you and make you stronger. You hear what I'm saying? There's a prophetic word over your head today. I got to watch your little kids. I watch them toss and turn. I got one sitting down there in the hospital. I can't even understand her words now. Candace Anna, she's sitting down there, birthed me such beautiful grandkids. And you think that I'm going to give up on her? You think that I'm going to think just because she don't operate like we operate, that that's just the end and that's over? The devil is all kinds of lies. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? God brought you through what you got yourself in. God can bring anybody through. Who did God give you to give up on anybody anyway? I'm talking today. Huh? You stayed out there until you got done and you did it as much as you wanted to do. Now you want them to get in a hurry. You ain't gonna hurry up. He ain't getting no younger. They ain't getting no that. You wasn't getting no younger either. And truth be told, there's a whole lot of, man, it look funny seeing somebody 7 years old smoking a joint. Boy, huh? My point is, it's some still. Hey, I'm in a place now where I see people don't get too old to do nothing no more. They don't know what they're doing, but it's called turn up. They be turning all the way. Give me a bag of them right there. How many milligrams are there? I tell you what, give me two. God has spoken over. There's a prophetic utterance right here. There's a prophetic utterance. I ain't going to have everybody come and sit in the chair, but we are all sitting here right now, just like Cash. Cash is just, he's just my illustrator right now. But he's my illustrator, but he is the real of the realest. That God has put something right here, and I don't know whether you're going to live to see it or not, but God didn't do it contingent upon you being here to see it. It's going to be done. Huh? And you know, my heart goes out for those that actually thought that they were going to be the object of the enemy to stop me. And now they're not here to see that if God be for me, he is more than the whole world that is against me. All right? Go ahead. Go ahead. I may call you back, though. All right, let me get this, and then I think I'm help me, Lord, because you know what you put in here, and only you can get this out. So, that's Jeremiah. Did y'all read that, Jeremiah? Y'all put yourself in there? Now, let me get over to something, because I need to go back in Jeremiah. Let me see what chapter that is. I want y'all to go farther in Jeremiah. Now, y'all read what just happened. And now go over to, oh, wait a minute, let me see. Lord, where did he talk to me? Is that in 14? Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. 1 second. Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah 20. Somebody say it gets tough sometimes. Gets real tough. Right. I hope you jolted now. Now that you jolted, now that you know, you accept it. Verse number 7. Oh Lord, thou deceived me. And I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I. And you have prevailed. I am being talked about every day. People are doing nothing but mocking me. Ever since I did and come to grips that I'm supposed to do what you called me to do, I've become a laughing stock. Ever since that day that preacher talked to me about being jolted, now it just seemed like, boy, it's just like I didn't have this problem before. I went ahead and got up to really do something. That's what Jeremiah is saying. He said, I made a reproach. And they dog me out daily. Verse number 9. So what I'm going to do, and I decided to do, is I'm not going to make mention of you. I'm not going to say anything else in your name. Now, it's getting tough, y'all. You know it's got to be tough when you talk to God like this. Right, Tracy? When you start saying, I'm not going to call your name no more. I'm not going to speak of you. It's tough, right? Let's admit it. Do we have days like this? You didn't say this, but it gets tough, right? We simply say, Lord, have you forgot about me? Lord, you are there, aren't you? Same thing. He just goes a little colorful. I will not speak any longer in thy name. I will not mention you. But his word was a little deeper than what was coming out of my mouth. And you know what it was? Even when I tried to stop, like I said I was going to stop, it was like fire that was shut up in my bones. I read that because I wanted somebody who think that they're going to actually throw the towel in. The towel just got tossed back to you. You going to do this. Oh, I know you're crying and you think it's going to be rough. But I got a message straight from God today. You going to do this. Greater am I that are in you than he that is in the world. And let your testimony be on February the 2nd, 2025. I can do all things. Even this. I can do all things. Because it's just like fire that shut up in my bones. He knew that he wanted to quit, but he couldn't quit. Huh? Now I'm going to go back to when I can denounce that Uncle Daniel said that over me, but every time I try to say, oh, that ain't what happened. Oh, I just get on and just get busy on back again. Huh? So, is that all I wanted from that? Yes. Now, here's what I need to do now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I've got to deal with this idea. This is what I'm going to let you close with today to show you. Somebody say eternity. I told you to turn the TV off, and then one other thing you got to watch is watch out for anything that's on the calendar, birthday, anniversary, dates that you're looking forward to. What y'all looking forward to now? If you're my wife, you're looking for the next day. The daycare gonna be closed, but yeah, her. What y'all? Y'all looking forward. Baby, our anniversary when? The 6th of February. A whole lot can be done between now and the 6th. Don't miss what happens on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Trying to rush to the 6th. You just had a birthday. Don't rush it, because you know what's coming next. Slow down. Savor each moment. Find God in the right now. If you get too far ahead of yourself, you're going to stress yourself out. You're going to worry yourself to death. It's going to start coming at you. Then you're going to start, let me tell you what, you look too far ahead and start thinking about what your next birthday is going to make you, and it'll make you start feeling like that today. I ain't got much left in the 60s. And it'll mess around and make its way to you. Then you start talking like it, acting like it. You gotta be careful how you talk about people too when they start acting old, because that'll come on you too. You'll mock them until you become them. All right, I'm making my point here. Somebody say, God, right now. That's where God is. He is in right now. That's what I'm leaving you with today. So he did this somewhere in what we call time. You can't get locked up in these calendar what's going to happen. Oh, Lord, you know they say the 30th next month, the 30th next month. See, a few last week, y'all was worried because they was finna cut federal funding out, and y'all wanted to know, is that going to stop my Social Security? Is that going to stop my, you going to stop my Medicare? Is that going to stop my, see? Soon as they said, Lord, you done already tried to, what I'm going to do now, I need to get another, maybe I got to go back to work. In a split second, you just went all Scott lost. Did you do it, Eddie? You let that happen to you?
No.
Almost? You didn't? Almost? Tell the truth now. God is what who is now. Not the prediction of something. They're going to cut this. They're going to cut that. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. You got to realize that the one who has counted the hair on your head is not a democracy, but God. Not a system, not a nation, but God have counted every hair on your head. You are more than the birds. You are more. And where is God? Right now. So now, let's just say, when we said the word eternity, is this helping today? Because I'm almost finished now. I start going back. Because what I'm trying to do is, I'm trying to find, how did God do something in time? Like picked a day that he chose me. All right? This is going to be a little, just, you can ride with it. Stay with me. When I turn, you turn, right? Did he do it when mama was pregnant? Or did he do it with my great-granddad? Or did he do it when? Did he do what I just told you that he did for you? Let's put it to a test. I'm going back for all of us to figure out where God starts. Because if I find where he starts, then I can figure out what he did when he did it. So I'm going back and back and back, and I'm going back, and I'm traveling in the past to see that he was there for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I run all of their minor prophets back, all of their major prophets backwards. I run all of the books of poetry backwards, Proverbs and Psalms and the Songs of Solomon. And I go back to the books of the period of Judges, and I go back to the period of the creation, and I get to Genesis, and I discover that God was actually before Genesis. I go back, and I go back, okay. So if I go back, and I go back so far, and then I come back, and I say, okay, God, you here. But if you were here, then that means at some point you had to be there. But I can't figure out where there is. So then how did you get here if I can't find there? Now, let me ask y'all a spiritual question one more time. Where is God? He is right here. And he's here when? Right now. But then if he's here right now, where is he coming from? I'm working your spiritual energy right now. Where is he coming from? Come on now, where is he coming from? Because if I'm going to see where he come from, that's the only way that I'm going to know that he's here now. And I keep going into infinity, and I can never get to the point where I stop. Because no matter how far I go, you all, I come back to tell you, he was there. He was there. Then how did he ever come from there to get to here? And I had to go back again. And when I went back and I still couldn't find the starting place. All right? And never will I get to a place, no matter how many times that I go back, will I find where God began. Right? So now he moving forward and he doesn't have a starting place. God has no starting place, all right? Y'all with me? Now, the problem is, if I'm going to evaluate eternity, now I need somebody with their little smartphones to look up the word eternity. Get your smartphone. It's smart. Smarter than it's ever been today, because it's about to tell you something. What did it tell you eternity is?
Eternity in common terms is an infinite amount of time that never ends, or the quality, condition, or fact of being everlasting or eternal.
All right. Now, somebody give me that little comma. It has no, and it has no beginning. So eternity does not start. That's why eternity can't end. And God is eternity. Go ahead and agree with me. He has no beginning. So now, if we can't put him there because we don't know where is, then all we can deal with is right because that's where he is eternally right here. God is always right where? Yeah. Where is he? Huh? Are you going to know that when you laying there and you're about to give up? Are you going to declare with everything that you exist, God? I don't care what's going on. You are right here. I know Don didn't come back looking for you, but he made it good in the sermon and it sounded good. Even if he did go back, even though he came, he never would have found where you started, because you don't have a beginning and you don't have an end. The only thing you gave us is right now. Somebody say in a powerful way. Boy, he running through you right now. He just like some castor oil. He will clean you out right now. He will get all of that bitterness. He will get all of that disappointment. He will get all of that hatred. All you got to do is just want him to do it. To come in right now, he can resolve your pain. He can get rid of your grief. He can deal with your misery. If you would just give over. I almost said let him, and I told April earlier this week, stop letting God do anything, because you can't let him do nothing. But if you would just surrender and say, have your way, Lord. Like he ain't gonna have it anyway. So that the devil can hear what I said, because what I said is what I said. And I said, Lord, have your way. So, devil, that means he about to deal with you too. So now, if I combine, I said I was finished, but then I got to take it. If I combine omniscience with eternity, omniscience means that he knows everything, right? Say omniscient. That's all knowing. Now, I ain't talking about them folks that y'all know that they think they know everything. I'm talking about God now. Y'all go, look at that mess. They done fooled y'all like they think they know everything. When they say something like the gospel, oh, but so-and-so said, man, they done pulled that wool over your eyes all your life. Huh? No. If God is all-knowing, he knows all things, right? Quote, unquote, all of the time. Is there ever a time that God don't know everything? Huh? No, because he has been here. He is eternity. So that means that he has known everything all of the time, right? Now, if he knows all things, then that means that he always knew all things. So not only does he know, but he also knew. And he also knows. Which means there is no quote unquote time in existence where God didn't know everything. So from the beginning, and he has no beginning, God had all of the information about February the 2nd that could be had. So ain't no way that CNN, NBC, CBS, and ABC, and the Speaker of the House and the Secretary of the State, and the 435 or 53 people that make up the House of Representatives and the Senate, and all of these people can get together and know what's better for me. It's because they haven't known all things at all times. And when it comes to the one who put the prophetic message over my head, he already knew what you were going to do before y'all got together to decide to do it. Praise God. Now, if I go back to the beginning and God has no beginning, where would I find a time that God didn't already know all things? All right? So then the $10 million question is, how are you going to tell me that God didn't choose me in eternity? To tell me that I was going to be standing right here today with this mic in my hand. And you sitting where you sitting or standing where you standing. Up on your feet, because he knew that when I said you ought to stand in the presence of God, that you were going to get up out of your seat and you were going to lift up those holy hands and you were going to say, Lord, I thank you. But they still sitting down. But they still sitting down. But they still sitting down. They ain't standing up. They ain't clapping their hands. They're not going to one another and say, God is right here, right now. They're not giving each other high five. And they are not being jolted right now to know that whatever I get ready to do next, oh, is going to be done. Come on, somebody. I may have walked in here not feeling like it. But I know right now it's some folk that feel like it that wasn't feeling like it earlier. Why? Because God is right here. Right now. He right here. Oh, y'all can do anything right now. See, because we in what's called, let me tell you. See, after prophetic utterance, that's when you get revelation. So what's in the house right now? Revelation. Because everybody have come to the realization that God is right here, right now in them. And it's not that you don't matter, but right now I'm focusing on what God is doing inside of me. So now there's a great revelation in the house. Come on, somebody. So now the revelation, the prophetic word and the revelation is coupled together by what's called assurance. Prophetic word. And then revelation. Now we got assurance. So now what locks together what's been revealed is me being assured. Come on, somebody. So that means I ain't gonna let nothing and I ain't gonna let nobody. Come on, somebody. And you know who I'm talking about now. Ain't nobody but that red-headed devil. Come on, somebody. That's gonna let you walk out of here doubting anything. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He knows that God, based on a storm of this magnitude, they said that it has done this in the past. And when I see what God has done for David, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Paul, there's a storm arising in dawn. Come on, somebody. So based on a storm of this magnitude, I already know what God going to do to the devil. Y'all don't hear me. Come on, somebody. And what he plans to do here is he going to try to trip you on your way out of here. Oh, Lord. Maybe y'all don't know what you need to do. Turn your phone off or something, but he's going to try to trip you. Don't turn it off for real, but he's going to do what he can do, and he's going to use what's his to do what he can do. Sometime on the way out of the church house, he used folks. Come on now, Daddy. So I done had a good time in church. Come on over here. And then, I don't know if you know how to roll your eyes or turn your nose up. And then I come over here and I say, we had a good time. Now roll your eyes. And I, get on out of here, devil. I'm still full of revelation. You see, he uses whatever and whoever he can. Come on. Come on over here.
And then sometimes you feeling good in the spirit, and they be all over there running up and down. Stand up in that chair right there. Y'all stand up in the chair. Stand up in it. I mean, you ain't gonna get no trouble. And they all over there doing, and you done had a good time. Boy, get down out of that chair. I don't know what he gonna use. He gonna use something to try to get you off track from where you are. But I want y'all to walk out of here today and say, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar today. I'm coming up out of here with the fullness. That's all, y'all. I'm getting ready for something. I don't even know what I'm getting ready for. But I'm sure gonna be ready when it comes. I'm getting ready. God bless y'all. God bless you all. That opened it up. We need this. We, all of us, need this. Assurance. He's here. Assurance. See, he got to say it out loud with you. He know. He's a work in progress. But he's saying it out loud. I know Eddie. Eddie said it out loud. He said, oh, Lord, you got me again. But every time, God, he got a pastor that he decided to show you. Whose family was it? Clarence. He sat on the front seat, and everybody shaking hands. And I hug you and I hug you. And he said, I'm coming to your church Sunday. And he messed around and came. And God super glued him. And he's still here. So every time he do something, he's going to run right back into a word that's going to make him be conscious that I'm still working on you. And he got all of us right here. Aunt Gloria, you got ready last Sunday, baby. And we didn't have church, so I had to make up today. Because you missed last Sunday. Amen. And to the guests that come here with Keisha, baby, you so special. Being here with us today, we glad you come and everything. We just have a good time in the Lord. Amen. 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 Now y'all get ready. Clap your hands one last time. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So we're gonna look forward. Even right now. No, that's what we're gonna do. We're just gonna do it right now. We're gonna do it right now. Thank all of you for everything that you do that helped push me. You guys have really, you just don't know in what ways you have. I'll tell you the way you did it. You just love me and you prayed for me. That's my baby. That, y'all don't worry about that song. That's my baby texting me. She telling me something. Hold up, Usher. Yes, Lord. People said the other night when I had people that say, I'm so glad that when they get around us tap, that they can live in a where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. That people can be around us and you ain't gotta be stuck up on nothing. We ain't God, we ain't judging you. We're not there. We don't have no hell to send you to, and we ain't shedding no blood for you. We just know that living a life of Christ is a discipline to respect people. It ain't got nothing to do with all of this judgment and all this religious stuff that you do. We need to live free in Christ. It don't mean that you live reckless, but at the same time, it means that you're not up under some kind of stuff that just don't let you live so that you can smile. It's sad when you go to places and you come in bitter and you go out bitter. You ought to be able to come in, and when people are around us, we build an atmosphere wherever we go. We build an atmosphere that God is right here, right now. And that's always. God bless you all. The text to give number is 256-291-0291. Text to give.
Zero, 0091.
Okay. The text to give number. The app, the DA Earth app, you all.
Say it again. 256-291-0091.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy. So if you're texting to give in your text box, when you open it up, you're sending it to. And if you save it, you can save it under text to give. But for right now, since you haven't saved it, just put in a text box 256-291. It's saved in mine, 0091. And when it come up, I know y'all can't really see that for real. I'll put in here $1,000. I'll put in here whatever I'm gonna give. When you put that in there and send it, it's gonna send you back a text. This is safe and secure. I wouldn't have it on there if it wasn't. Meaning that if something happens, your money will be made back to you. Nothing's safe, so people can't hack it, but it's safe. When you text your amount, it's gonna ask you, are you this for sure? All right? Did anybody have any problems attempting to text to give? Now, if you save that number, 291-256-291-0091, when you, and put it under text to give or Nations Harvest or whatever it will come up, then you just put the amount in. If you put the wrong number in, and this has happened, someone said they put the wrong number and they had sent it, tell me, and I can reverse it as quick as you sent it. Amen. Don't worry that, oh my God, don't feel bad. Because Cassie paid her car note twice yesterday and she jumped straight up out of the bed. Who at 9 o'clock in the morning thinks that look? And she said, Lord, I done paid them twice. That happens to you too, Virginia? I mean, I thought the house was on fire. And I said, baby, what? She said, I done paid my car note twice. And then a few minutes, she was all right, and I just got quiet. She said, I caught it. I said, okay. I didn't want to give them that twice. Oh, no. They don't need it. No, not in 1 month. That's right. So if that happens to you with Nations Harvest, we'll make sure that gets right back to you. Okay, if you do the wrong thing. All right. Thank you for asking that. Somebody wanted to text to give number because the app is not in place anymore. But that is as safe and secure to text and give whenever you choose to, all right? All right. Everybody, love you so much. To those that are online, and let me tell you, the Johnsons were here last week, Fakita and Chris, and they said, stop saying Orlando, we are in Lakeland, Florida. So, Lakeland, Florida, about 40 miles from Orlando, is where they are, and they had such a wonderful time. They were down with Cassie to help her celebrate her birthday, and we didn't have service last Sunday, but they were here in town. God bless you all. God bless everyone that's out there listening to us. And now, as we leave the place, who's with us today? You want to stand and give? Tell us. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I'm Ms. Shirley.
Uh-huh.
And this family right here.
Yes. Yes. Come on and give a hand, Shirley. Thank you. Thank you. And being here means a lot to us just to come. Thank you so much. They were asked, everybody was asked to ask somebody to come. Let's tell somebody again next Sunday, all right? Mom, it's good to see you.
Amen.
It's so good to see you. Amen. Who?
Lakeisha.
Who? Well, help me now. That's my cousin, but I didn't know it. Is it Monkeisha? About to be a grandma? What you say? First one. Welcome into the grandparenthood life. Amen. All right, a girl. All right, y'all. Y'all about to be uncles. Okay. Okay. All right. Man, Derek, I've been talking about you this week. I was talking to Cassie. I said, man, that young man is going to do, is doing great things. There's just something, huh? He is working now. Man, you just, you stay steadfast. God, I just pray over you. Amen. Because God has a special task for you. You tell Kennedy that we said, keep on running. That is the running this girl. And you tell her that we made mention of her today. I'm still looking for her in the Olympics. Yeah. Even if she don't make it, I'm believing it's going to happen. Amen. All right then, Ty, baby, it's getting close. This is your last year. She coming downtown with Uncle Don at Calhoun. That's what she say. I don't know. But I'd love to have her down there. But you don't have to worry about lunch ever. You got a free meal ticket if you go to Calhoun. Factor that into your budget. To have you down there in the arts department at Calhoun. They got a beautiful construction going up down there. Dance in Motion, $20 million project. Calhoun doing it downtown, baby. Decatur, they moving. All right, come to your feet. Go your way in peace. God bless you, and may the Spirit of God guide you.
That's right. Well, I love that happening.